Very holy and blessed New Year to all of you, from Bishop Kelly and Bishop Santay, the priests and sisters. As in January, we do have the annual Right to Life March down in Washington, D.C. There is a bus that will be leaving from here, from the church, and there are sign-up sheets downstairs at the bookstore, so please do sign up for a seat on the bus if you're able to go in the middle of January. Also, on the third Saturday, the Saturdays that we normally go to the abortion clinic to pray the Holy Rosary, we will again be doing that Saturday, January 19th. It is so close to the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. That's why we, of course, pray the Rosary on the third Saturdays of the month. And this month in January, Bishop Santay will be there to lead the Holy Rosary. So please, if you're unable to make the trip to Washington, and even if you are able to make the trip in Washington, please take the opportunity on Saturday, January 19th, to pray the Holy Rosary publicly to overturn the heinous crime of abortion. The epistle appointed to be read for the circumcision of our Lord is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Father hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. The grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the beginning of a new year is a very serious matter for each and every one of us, because the number of our years in this world are very few. All of us have awakened today to see the passing of one of those few years of which our life is made. It is a year that is gone, never to return. And now another begins. We're all, each and every one of us, old and young alike, closer, one stage closer, 1 year closer to our eternity. And surely it is a very solemn thought, even if we were not to know for sure what would be the last day of our life. We should ask ourselves a question, which we can answer ourselves, and which we must make practical in our own lives. If I should be called from this world during this year, will I be prepared for eternity? In fact, many of our own parishioners have been called this past year. Will we be among the ones who are called this year? And this question we should ask ourselves as we begin this new year, our journey towards our eternal happiness. Today, the anniversary of the beginning of a new year is a grace that God has given to us. And those who are living in habits of sin, or those living in the neglect of their spiritual duties, those who are living in slothfulness in their spiritual life, those who have become lukewarm in the practice of their prayers or the practice of their faith, those who have given themselves to ease and comfort, now have a new year given to them to overcome the occasions of sin so as to not add another page of crimes to the judgment book of God. It's truly a grace, and we must not neglect the grace that God has given to us. In the new year which God has given to us, we should heed the words which St. Paul has says, and that's why Holy Mother the Church uses those words today, to renounce ungodliness and worldly desires. That is, ungodliness is nothing more than impiety. Impiety which is sinfulness. And of course, worldly desires, worldliness, that is living for the world and not for God. Truly is it a day today that many resolutions are made, but the most important of which resolution should be made is for those who have been living lives of sin to renounce the habits of sin. If one has been a slave of pride, now is the time to resolve to practice humility, to imitate the Christ child as he lies in the stable of Bethlehem. Pride is the very foundation, the very beginning of all sin. And so he who came to redeem mankind would begin our redemption by the humble birth in Bethlehem, the self-abasement there in that crib of the manger. And if we would reform our lives in real earnest, to reform our lives to be leading Catholic lives, then our reform has to begin by humbling ourselves. If we have been desirous of the world's goods, now is the time to become poor in spirit. If we have been guilty of impurity or inordinate pleasures, now is the time to become pure and chaste in mind and body. If we have harbored angry thoughts or spiteful or revengeful feelings, now is the time to learn from the Sacred Heart how to be meek and humble. If we have hitherto been addicted to intemperance, now is the time to learn how to live soberly as becomes Catholics. If up to this time we have been envious or jealous or fond of our own will, now is the time to submit ourselves to others. My dear faithful, if up to the past years one has been slothful in the neglect of God's service, let us now be zealous and labor more diligently for his honor and glory. It is not simply enough to renounce sin. We must also renounce the world and its temptations. The world is ever seeking to drag us along with it in its current, its principles, and its practices, whose end is perdition. Even St. Paul, whose epistle we read today, at the time when St. Paul lived, just after Christ, he told the people of the world at that time to renounce impiety and worldly desires. If it was so necessary during the time of St. Paul, how much more necessary is it today, when the world is rife with materialism, when it is rife for fulfilling any of the desires and whims and pleasures that the lower nature may want? If we want to avoid falling into the abyss, we must abandon all sympathy and approbation for the worldly desires and the evil principles. We must set ourselves resolutely against them, against those insidious attractions and desires which the world uses to ensnare us, that is, the books and the entertainment, the magazines, etc. It's not enough simply to renounce the two great evils, impiety and worldliness, but St. Paul also tells us what we are to do. Once we renounce them, how we are to live our lives. We are to live soberly. We are to live justly. We are to live piously. To live soberly simply means avoiding all intemperance and all excessive indulgence of our lower appetites. To live justly means by doing the works of justice, not only in our relations with our fellow men, giving everyone that is his due, but also and most especially in our duties towards Almighty God. We owe Almighty God everything. Not only has he created us, but he has redeemed us on the cross. Everything we have, this new year, the breath that you have just taken in this brand new year, is a gift from Almighty God. It is a year of grace, and it's our solemn duty to renew our resolutions and to discharge our obligations more faithfully during this coming year, to use this year to draw closer and closer to our own sanctity. This year will soon pass, and we will be even closer to eternity than we are today. And my dear faithful, we must not let this year simply slip through our fingers. We must live piously. That is, not by being satisfied with doing the bare minimum, or only that which is of strict obligation, but we should devote ourselves wholly to Almighty God. We must not be satisfied with simply hearing Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, but use the opportunities throughout the weeks when we can to be here to renew ourselves of the precious blood that flows from the altar. If up to this time we have not made the first nine Fridays, then now is the time to begin, this Friday of January. And remember the promises that our Lord has given to those who adore His Sacred Heart on the first Friday. One of the promises that He makes is they will have final perseverance. That is, final perseverance towards eternal life. If one has been unable to make the first five Saturdays in honor of the Immaculate Heart, make the resolve today to begin this year, this Saturday, with the first Saturday in the honor of Our Lady. If one has found that they have become lax in coming to all-night adoration, to make reparation for the countless sins that one has committed against Almighty God, to come here to comfort the Sacred Heart, which has done so much for us, then make the resolve today to spend one hour a month before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. What a consolation it is to know that our Lord hears your petitions in the pouring out of your souls as you spend that hour with Him. And of course, we must not simply be satisfied with making our Easter duty, receiving the food of our souls only once this coming year, but rather we should prepare our souls to receive this food often. Every day in Our Father, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. What greater bread for our sanctification than the bread that contains the body and blood of Christ. And my dear faithful, the prescriptions that are set forth today by St. Paul may seem almost impossible to fulfill. They may be difficult. They may be difficult to our corrupt human nature. They may be difficult to our lower passions, to be able to renounce impiety and worldliness, and to live soberly and justly and piously in this world. But my dear faithful, they are not impossible. With the grace of God that He gives us each and every day, just as the grace of the new year that He has just given to us, it is easy for us to do that which God wishes us to do if we are men and women of good will. It's not simply a matter of wanting and then not fulfilling. It's a matter of the will. When the will is set in motion, then the will accomplish what it wants to do. If we want to follow the law of Almighty God, then we will. If we want to become saints, then we will do the things necessary to become saints. And if we do not want to follow the law of God, if we do not want to live soberly and justly and piously in this life, then we won't, and we will be lost. My dear faithful, a new year is a grace. It's a gift from Almighty God. Remember that He has promised grace to the repentant sinner. But He has not promised time. He has not promised time. He has simply given it to you now, today, as you begin this brand new year. Redouble your efforts in your sanctification. There can be no true, real perseverance, a perseverance to eternal life, a perseverance to a conversion of life, without grace and without prayer. We must be willing to put ourselves on our knees and humble ourselves before the Christ child, to humble ourselves in true humble prayer, asking of Almighty God for the grace necessary to become those great saints He wants us to be. Pray that you may put into practice the good resolutions that you make today, and spend the coming year more profitable to your salvation than all of the preceding years of your life. So that truly, if you use this year well, and the graces that comes with this year, then you can, in the words of St. Paul, look forward to the blessed hope and the coming of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.